Blessed be the name of the Lord. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be standing behind this pulpit that has been graced by Brother Gabor. Brother Gabor and I have known each other for many years, many years. He may be a man in short stature naturally, but in the kingdom of God, he's a giant. He's a giant in the kingdom of God. But what he does, how he allowed God to use him through his power and his glory, and to be, who says we can't go house to house breaking bread? Mm-hmm. See what God can do, can turn it into a regular house, can turn it into a place that people can come and worship. Amen. And give him honor and praise and just glorify him in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank everybody for being here. And if you would, just turn and look at the person next to you, to your left or right, and just stare him in the eye just for a second. Just look straight in their eyes. Just take the time. Just look directly in the eye. We call him Brother Take Time. Just look directly in the eye. And just say the name Jesus.
Jesus.
Just say it again.
Jesus.
Just say it again.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For if they are a child of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then God is living inside of them. So you just spoke to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a name, the name above every name. The name with more power in the universe than any other name. Even today it has the power. Because if you go into a certain situation and mention the name of Jesus, chaos! People start grinding their teeth and shaking their head. You can't say the name of Jesus. Not here. We're going to put you out. You see, we're going to fire you. You mention the name of Jesus on my work site. You mention the name of Jesus in our group. You see? And that's what it's about now. We have to be bold and stand up for the Lord. Because the Bible says that you're going to have tribulation for his name's sake. When Peter and Paul was in jail, they beat them and told them, if you don't go back out and mention that name again, name of Jesus. Peter said, you can't stop me. They went right back out in the hedges and the byways and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you got to turn your back to the wall. You got to say, it's not about me anymore. It's about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that knows you should know where you stand with Jesus. There should be no question in their mind of who your Lord and Savior is. There should be no question in your family, in your workplace, that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. They should know that. There should be no secret service Christians where you hide out until you come here on Sunday, then all of a sudden you let it all out, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No one would even know. No one would even know. You see, you got to speak out the name of Jesus. When the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of you, it doesn't matter. Who cares what people think about you? All the people are not going to like you anyway. They didn't like Jesus. They tried to stone him and kill him. So what do you think they're going to do to you? But you still have to profess the name of Jesus. Therefore, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he gives you the power to do it. Working through you. Within us, we don't have the power. The flesh doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. It just rebels against Jesus. But through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Not one or two, but what? All things through Christ who strengthens you. And we're here today. I don't have any secrets out of the Word of God. I don't have any, I'm not the best speaker in the world, but I do know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. How do I know? Because how he works in my life. You see, and we don't stand on titles at the church. You can call me Brother Ed. Pastor is not a title. That's so many churches now get tied up in titles. I'm a brother in the body of Christ just like you are. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. The ladies in the church, you are queens in the kingdom with all rights and privileges of a queen in the kingdom. The men are priests in the kingdom. But God calls you a priest, the high priest of your home, where you lead and guide your family toward the mark of the high calling of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter what people call you, in God's eyes, you are a priest and queen. You can walk with your head up, your chest out, with a pep in your step. It doesn't matter where you live. God doesn't care about that. It doesn't matter what car you... He don't care about that because these things come and go. But he does care about your position with Jesus Christ. He doesn't care about your condition in life because it's a passing, fleeting thing. What he cares about is your position with his son, Jesus. And you should have a relationship with his son. I don't like to use the word saved. That connotation of saved now has so many different connotations. But do you have a relationship? When you have a relationship with someone, you can sit down and talk with them. And when you have a personal relationship with him, you can talk to him about anything. God already knows your situations in life. He knows what you're going through. He knows your beginning from your end. God is already into your tomorrow. He's just waiting for you to get there. He's at your lunch table sitting and waiting for you tomorrow. He's in your car when you get ready to start it up in the morning. He's already there because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows, but he wants you to sit down and talk to him. Because he wants not only a relationship, he wants a personal relationship with you. And you, like the Bible says in the song, and he walked with me and talked with me, and he called me his own in the garden. That's the kind of relationship you want. That's the kind of relationship. I often ask God. I say, God, why me? Why do you have me carrying this word? God builds a big church on Bach Road. And he gives a saved sinner like me the key. I have the key to every door in the church. I mean, why me, Lord? You know what he told me? Why not you? You're my child. Why not you? You see? And that's how God is. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to sit down and talk with you. He wants to communicate with you one-on-one. Not through the pastor, not through your brothers and sisters on the phone. He wants you to sit down and talk to you personally. And he will do it. Read the Old Testament. You see, you want to have that relationship. And once you know you have that relationship, and you see God working in your life every day, every morning you get up, you should be looking for God working in your life. Well, you know God couldn't have done that. How many accidents has he kept you out of? How many times your car wanted to break down? How many times you said, I don't have any money in my pocket. You reach in there and you find a 20 you didn't know was in there. You see, I feel I'm never broke. I don't care about a man, if I had a money in my pocket, the first thing I do is go to my father. I have to ask my father, you know, Lord, you say you never leave me nor forsake me. You said you're going to take care of me. Why are my pockets empty? You see? Next thing you know, here comes somebody. Here's some money God told me to give to you. I've had that happen. I've left when I was working. I left home with not enough gas to get back home in my car. But I told God, you're my father. You're going to take care of me. When I got, before the day was out, somebody gave me money. I didn't have to go to the bank or the ATM machine. I just didn't have any money in my pocket, but my father took care of me. You see, we got to walk in these things on a personal, everyday basis in order to receive from God. He wants to do it so bad. He wants to do it so bad. What happened? He allowed his son to die on the cross, to shed his blood. That's how much he cares about you. That's how much he wants to have that tie with you on a daily basis. He wants to love you and caress you, and he wants to pull you into his breast. No matter how much you struggle and want to go out and do your own thing and see all this stuff going in the world, he wants to pull you in and hold you because he knows that if he lets you go and you start doing what Brother Sweet always says, when you start doing you, or if I start doing Brother Ed, I'm in trouble. Because I'm going to get into some stuff so bad that I'm not going to be able to handle it. Because I'm working in my own nature, but when I'm under the unction of the Holy Spirit, if I stay under the cloud, if I stay with him, he's going to lead and guide me in his righteousness, not in my righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today as we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you this day. We honor you. We praise you, Father. We just lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, as your word goes forth, we ask right now, in the name of Jesus, that our word will be complete and whole, Father, and it would touch everyone's heart. Father, renew their minds in you. Touch them, Father. Let them see the glory of the Lord working in their life. Let them feel the power of God in their life, Father. Oh, Father, we worship you today and praise you, Father. We just thank you this day. Satan, you are life. You have no power in this room. We speak against you. We speak against you. We cast you out into outer darkness. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this place, yes, by the power of God. God, with the anointing of God. Father, let us feel the warmth of your presence. Let us feel the fire. Let us feel, smell the sweet savor of your presence, Father, as your word goes forth. Oh, Father, we just thank you today, for we know that we're here not of our own accord, but by the movement of the Holy Spirit. This is a divine appointment today.
Yes.
Put forth by your glory before the foundations of the earth.
Yes.
When Jesus was on the cross, he saw us sitting here.
Yes.
We saw us singing and praising you. He's praising him. He saw us that we would be here this day. So let us honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've slightly changed my message today. I was going to do a teaching on what makes God sweat. What makes God sweat? But that, the Holy Spirit has been working with me. I've been asking Sister Lorraine to pray for me all week that I would come with the Word. And I basically had that all done. And then it wasn't foundational enough. You see, maybe when I come next time, I'll do the teaching on what makes God. But we know God sweated in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweated so bad that his corpuscles were bursting with blood. And why was he sweating? Because he was thinking of us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The God that put the sun in position. Put the moon in position. The God that took dirt and shaped us and breathed life into us. You see, he gave so that we may have. But I'm going to touch on carrying the cross, evangelism. Carrying the cross, evangelism. We are given the great commission of God to go out and spread the good news of the gospel. Again, within ourselves, we can't do it. We don't have the power. Our bodies are just not, our makeup is just not designed after the fall to do it anymore. We know that when Adam and Eve was in the garden, God would come down in the cool of the evening and he would talk to them about why they were created. They knew that they were created, but they did not know why. And God would explain all these things. They would be in the presence of God because they were living in a holiness that God could be with them because they had developed the sin. The knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know what it was. They had no idea. They didn't know that they were not clothed because they were in the glory. But once they fell, in other words, they disobeyed God. Whatever it was, they disobeyed what God told them to do. And when Adam did it, everything changed spiritually. It took a little longer for things to change naturally, but spiritually, broken. God says, Adam, where art thou? And he didn't say that because he did not know where they are. God knew that something spiritually had happened between him and Adam. The whole thing had changed. The whole thing had changed. Adam had done something that God had told him not to do, and he had disobeyed God. You see. So now God had to provide a way for us to be brought back in relationship with him. And he chose his son, Jesus Christ. And when I speak of God today, I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm not splitting them up. They're not three separate gods or three heads like some so-called religions will tell you. I'm talking about three in one, one in three. Inseparable. All love, all caring, all knowledge, always together. Even though Jesus took on human form to walk this earth. And we call him, some call him the second Adam in order to bring us back in right relationship with God. Our relationship is only mended through God through who? Jesus Christ. The covering of the blood, the shedding of the blood. And we need to go out and see what God has done and tell people about the goodness that God has given us, about the goodness of God. If you have your Bible, please turn to Mark 16, chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. Mark 16. Now, this is throughout the Old Testament. Showing what Christ is going to do and why he's going to do it. But now here we are in the New Testament. Christ has come in the fullness of time. Christ has come. And in the fullness of time, he's going to come again. But this time he comes, he's not going to come as a suffering servant through the wound of a woman. This time, heaven is going to crack. And every eye is going to see him. And he's going to come with the word of God in his mouth, separating the tares from the wheat. This time he's going to come with power. He's not going to come the way he came before as a suffering servant. And we've got to be ready. We've got to tell as many people as we can about the good news of the gospel. No matter what they say on the news, no matter what's going on at the White House, the South House, the West House, who cares? That's temporal. They only have so many years. But God is eternal. Yeah. We're talking in eternal things. Yeah. We talk about people in their spiritual life. Yeah. We're speaking eternity into them. Mm-hmm. Eternity into them. Eternity, like Pastor Lowry said, to pray over your children constantly. Lay hands on them. Mm-hmm. Speak goodness and mercy into their lives all the time. Mm-hmm. So as they grow up, they will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. We're going to start in verse 14 if you have your Bible. And the word of the Lord says, afterward he appeared to the 11 as they sat at a table, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. God is now upbraiding his disciples for their hardness of heart. And we're talking about the birth, death, and bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some quote-unquote religion was, well, he didn't raise in body, he only rose in the spirit. But when they went to the tomb, there was nobody there.
Amen.
There was nobody. The body had already been gone. You see, the body has already been taken by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. God says, no man takes my life. I lay it down, and I lift it up. What power? What power? What power? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He who believes and baptizes will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, in whose name? Jesus' name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they shall drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And brothers and sisters, I've got to tell you this. I've got to tell you this about healing of the sick. What did God say you got to do? Lay hands on the sick. Anytime someone comes to you and asks a prayer for healing, lay hands on and pray for them. You have the authority of the Holy Spirit in you to allow God to use you as a vessel to heal someone. You don't have the power. It's the power of who? The Holy Spirit working through you. You use as a vessel, a point of contact that God can use. But you say, Brother Ed, I prayed for 25 people and none of them got healed. That's not your fault. That's not your issue. God just says, lay hands on they shall what? They shall be healed. That's not your problem. Once you do what you're required to do, it's up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work. You may pray for 100 people, but then you lay hands on the 101 person and they get their healing because it's in the will of God. But if you don't lay hands, you don't pray for them, that healing will not come. What a testimony to someone that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When you're out on the street and you're ministering to people and they say, well, I'm not feeling well, let me pray for you, brother. Let me pray for you, sister. Well, my mother has cancer. She's in the hospital. They don't give her up. Well, can you stand in for her? Let me pray for your mother and you be the point of contact. When you go to the hospital, you lay hands on her and ask God to heal her. You don't know what God's going to do. But you're out on the highways and byways, the rubber meets the road. You need to lay hands on these people and pray for them whenever they give you the opportunity. Don't be afraid. We're going to talk about this fear thing. Satan is so good at it. And it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. And this is the verse that ties it all together. While the Lord worked with them. Who worked with them? The Lord. You're not by yourself. You're not out on the mission field, out on the evangelism field by yourself. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do and using you as a vessel. Amen. To do His will. Amen. You have so much power in you, you don't realize how much it is. You have no idea how much power you have in you as a child of God. But you've got to let it come out. If you hide it,
under a rock like they did, like the person did with the money that was given to them, nothing will happen. You got to let it come out. You can't. That fear thing. The church has got to come out of this fear thing. And it says, and it confirmed the message by the signs that attended them. Amen. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. Everybody should know where you stand with God. Your family members, everybody. Everybody should know that at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, if you want to see brother, sister, so-and-so, you better go over on Route 198 or whatever this is, that little house in the corner, because that's where they are. And there's no doubt in my mind, if you want to say anything to them, that's where they are. Your neighbors should see the car. Well, I know where they're going. I know they're heading over to that church. You see, family members should know. Well, what time? Well, we should call them now. They're in church. I better wait till after 6 or whenever the time is the church lets out. You see, they should know who you are in Christ on your job. And you don't have to be overt with it on the job. You don't have to be overt. You just, there's subtle ways you can let people know on the job where you stand. Subtle ways you can let them know. But I guarantee you, let them have a problem in their family. They'll come to your desk. Can you call me tonight? My husband and I have problems. I want you to pray. They won't let everybody know. It'll be like Nicodemus. They'll sneak around at night to let you know. Or can you meet me for lunch? The doctor just gave me a bad report. I see something in you that I don't see in the other people on this job. When they talk about layoffs, you're not in a panic biting your nails. Oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. They're laying people off. That's not your problem. God says He'll take care of your needs. Amen. He's going to bless you. You got to be positive. He's got a better job for you. Amen. A better position for you. You see. You got to stand up and let people know where you stand. Where you stand. Let's go to Acts 1:8. Let's go to Acts 1:8. And I'm running a little long already. Hallelujah. Brother Ed could be here all night. I'm just talking about God now, because He's done so much in my life. Hallelujah. The people He's put around me have just been so marvelous. I've seen Him work miracles. I saw Him last February raise my son up off the deathbed. You can't tell me nothing about what God can't do. My son was on the way out, but the saints were praying. And he's up, walking around now. Thrives because of the prayers of the saints. It wasn't the doctors. God put the right doctor in at the right time, the right medicine in at the right time, and lifted him up off of that bed. And you're going to tell me you want me to keep God inside of me? No. I've seen Him work. You see, once you see God work, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you see. I don't care what title you are. It doesn't matter to me anymore. The only person I'm concerned with is the one that can destroy my soul, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the only one I'm concerned with. Acts 1:8. And the word of the Lord says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. What are you supposed to be?
Witnesses
unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the utter parts of the earth. We are to be witnesses of who Jesus Christ is. We're supposed to tell people about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, if I could tell you everything He's done for me, hallelujah. When the Lord first came to me, I was in my bed one night. And I loved His testimony. And the Lord came, I was praying one morning. My wife was laying right next to me. And I was laying in the bed praying, and I saw this bright light. I mean, a light so bright I've never seen before. And I looked down the light, and the Lord told me, He says, you have seen the light, but watch out. Satan is going to try to steal it from you. Biblical. Because the Bible says Satan come what? Immediately to steal the word. Immediately to steal the word. Immediately to steal the word. God is so good when you begin to build that relationship with Him. You see, none of what I'm about to, what we're talking about, you can really have the wisdom and knowledge about if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It seems like far out, you see, about healing and have a relationship with God and what God can do in your life. If you don't know Him or begin that relationship with Him, this seems, but it never happens to me. I mean, well, you know, I'm trying to get it, but I'm just not there yet. But I tell you, keep pushing. He's going to hit you one day, and you're going to look around. He's going to talk to you one day, and you're going to look around. There's going to be nobody around. It's going to be like somebody's talking to you, and you're going to look around and say, who said that? Who said that? You see, that's what God does. We can build a relationship because he wants to communicate with you. You see, yes, even a personal relationship with him. In order to begin that relationship, I know all of you must have followed Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. For the word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and a conjunction now, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No question about it. But we have to do something. It's free, but what we have to do is receive the gift. Everyone you speak to in the evangelism field must receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Now he says, you must confess with your mouth because God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to beat you up and make you go to church and do all. No. You have to give him permission to come in and work in your life. So you confess Jesus with your mouth. That gives him permission. It's like the door of all the pictures you see. The door handle is always on your side. God says, I stand and knock at the door of your heart. You have got to open the door. But everybody's not going to open it because of free will. Some people are just going to refuse to receive. And I'm telling you, some people are just so hard-headed, stiff-necked like the Jews were. Moses said, these people are so hard-headed and stiff-necked. You see, you know, Moses, a pastor of a 1-million-member church, came out of Egypt. They were so hard. They just wouldn't, even after all the miracles God gave. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, you give permission for God to come in. And shall believe in thy what?
Heart.
In your most inner being. Because where is God going to look at a person? At their
heart.
He don't care what country you're from. He don't care what. That has nothing to do with it. If you don't have him in your heart, then you're not one of his. You've got to have God in your heart. By doing what God and living a Christ-like life as you build that relationship. How can you build a soul and water into that relationship, yours with Christ? Number one, you've got to have a prayer life. You see, when you go out, before you can go out and evangelize someone else, you've got to make sure that you're rooted in ground. Because if you don't, there's so many winds and doctrines out there, you're going to be swayed one way and then the other. There's so much on television now. There's so many people who call themselves Christian. The Mormons want to be Christians now. The Jehovah's Witnesses saying that they're Christians. The Mormons have even taken their Bible. They used to say the Book of Mormons on the outside. Now they have the words, the Holy Bible. You don't see said the Book of Mormon until you open the first page. So they try to trick you, you see. Because they don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's the dividing line. You see, we have to stand for God. The Bible says. Jesus says in John 14, I am. A statement that, and I often, like I always tell, I often wonder how Jesus said it, that he got people's attention. I mean, he must have said it with such authority and such power that they knew he was telling the truth. That's why they wanted to stone him and kill him. Because he was saying, I am God. He said, I am the truth and the light. No one proceeds to the Father except by me. There's only one way to get to the Godhead, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The world will tell you, oh, there's got to be other. We listen to Oprah. Oh, you mean you're going to tell me there's only one way to get to God? Yes. And I don't believe Brother Ed argue with God in his word, John 14:6. Argue with God about it. Don't argue with me. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't want to receive it, then that's only between you and God. But I'm not going to let you say things that are not true. I'm going to stand up. You see, I don't care. Don't bother me anymore. My back is against the wall. And if you don't like it, that's tough. See, we got to be serious about our relationship with Christ. You see, it's tough in this world, but God makes it so easy for you if you only do it through Him. You've got to be cautious of what you let come into your eyes and your ears and the people that are around you that you let into your circle. Anytime anybody new comes in, tries to get into your circle, you better ask the Holy Spirit, what is this person here for? Because there's so many people coming with so many spirits these days. You've got to be careful. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment about people who come into, especially young people these days. The music they listen to and the videos they watch is terrible. Amen. But they soak this stuff in. And we wonder why they act out so much. Why they go against their parents. Why they get into all different things because of what they're taking in. It changes them on the inside. You see, it changes them. We got to be very cautious of what we do. You see, so you got to have a prayer life where you communicate with God. You got to study God's word if you want to build that relationship before you go out. Communicate with God. Talk to Him. Study God's revelation to us. This is God's revelation. This is the book you're going to be judged on. This is the book. Everything you need to know is right in this book. But the people will tell you that this book is corrupt. They'll tell you in a minute, man rewrote this, and it's corrupt. Well, I tell them in a minute. I said, number one, have you read the Word of God? No. Well, how can you tell them it's corrupt? Most people don't read the Bible. Don't take it for granted that someone has read this book. Because if they read it and study it, their lives are going to be changed. It's a two-edged sword. God says He's going to cut them out or cut them in. One or the other. There's no gray area. Well, I believe what it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but I don't believe that Jesus was born by a virgin. How can I? Well, you believe what God did there? Why can't you believe? Because no man could be a God and a man at the same time. You see? The Bible says study. To show yourself approved unto who? God. Not your friend or your buddy or your girlfriend or someone else in the church. Unto God. A workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So I asked them, do you study the word of God? Study. That means you got to get a pencil and a paper and you got to spend some time and you got to jump from verse to verse and you got to read the verses and you got to pray and you got to work at it. You haven't studied the Word of God? How can you tell me it's corrupt? And then the final question I ask them, have you applied this Word to your life? If you apply this Word to your life, you're going to be changed. You can't stay the same. Because it puts a demand upon you to change your life. Either you're going to pack it up and throw it away and say, I don't want to be bothered with it. Or you're going to take it to your heart and say, I've got to make a change in my life. This book has got me now. I don't know. You see, Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. The great Reformationist Martin Luther said that. That's how this book is alive. It has a life to it. God inspired men to write it. And when that word inspired means He breathed the word into men and they wrote it down. What happened when God breathed into man after He created him out of the dust of the ground? He became what? A living being. This is a living book to our generation. And if Christ doesn't come, it'll be a generation to our children. If Christ don't come in, it'll be a living word for our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. They can pick your Bible up because the same yesterday and tomorrow and get the same word that you got and have the same anointing on their lives that you receive. You must attend church. Oh, boy. You must attend church. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints for prayer and testimonies like the gentleman gave today. That edifies you. Because the church's responsibility is to train you and edify you. Train and edify. Train and edify. Train and edify. From testimonies. Don't think that the person sitting next to you may not be going through the same thing you're going through.
But when you hear what God has done in their life, it changes the whole
thing.
You see, you think God, Satan wants to make you think you're the only one. You're isolated all to yourself. Nobody's there to help you. Nobody cares about you. You see, but when you hear what other people are going through, then you can draw on what God has done in their life. Evangelize. The Great Commission. Go out and carry forth the Word of God, the good news to the world. We're supposed to be a witness. And the last thing, to build and sow into your life with Christ, is tithes and offerings. That goes with obedience to the Word of God. To be obedient to the Word of God. God expects the obedience of us to live Christ-like life. And one of the things we do is pay our tithes and our offerings. Pay our tithes and offerings. God has given us clear directions concerning what the purpose is in His kingdom. The Bible verses clearly state the fact. The unique thing about the purpose God provides, the power to accomplish the purpose. We don't have to do it ourselves. It's the Spirit that lives in us, that takes us over. And I'd love to give you a teaching on the body, the soul, and the spirit, so you can see what I'm talking about. The main reason people do not minister the gospel is natural fear. People are afraid. People are afraid. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses now, they do it because they're trained. They spend hours in the evening going over what to say, how to knock on the door, how to dress, how to do this, how to do that, how to group their verse. They're good at it because they're indoctrinated over and over and over and over and over and over again. They're good at standing out in front of stores holding up the watchtower. Because by doing that, they move up in levels in the Jehovah's Witnesses. Most Mormon young men become gods at 18. So why do you think Mormon young men don't want to speak to you? They say they can become a god at 18. So when they look at you, they look at you like, who are you talking to me? You must be crazy. I'm already a god. I'm going to have my own world and my own wife, and we're going to have babies, and we're going to inhabit another earth, you see. But see, this is the thing, you see. So it's rejection, not knowing enough, being embarrassed, and doubt. All those are tricks of the devil. Satan will put stuff in your mind. You see, now stand up, Sister Prim. This lady right here. Stand up. Here's Sister Prim. See this little lady right here? I've seen her out on the field. Come out here, Sister Prim. This is a powerful little lady. We were downtown one night because we go down in the wintertime and pass out coffee and carry the gospel to the guys in the parks, on the grates and all that. Preaching the gospel to them because they needed just, you know, people to slip through the cracks. We have to remember that people in the shelter are elders, deaconesses, choir members, pastors. Living in the shelter and on the street, they've fallen through the cracks. Paul says, what are we supposed to do? Restore these people to the ministry. You see, these are our brothers and sisters. They just fallen through the crack. Sister Prim was down there at 11th Street, at a park across from the old Greyhound bus station. This guy must have been this tall. I looked out of the bus, and here's this little lady looking up at this guy like that, holding on his hands, praying for him. You see, you have the power. You don't have to be big in natural stature, but you must be big spiritual stature. You see, nothing should be able to stop you when you're carrying forth the gospel with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You have a seat, sister. See, you have to be bold in the Lord and stand up to what Satan is trying to do. Expect the impossible. When you go out, expect the impossible. You don't know what God's going to do, but you've got to go out. You've got to go out. We go over to the Oxnell Shopping Center. We've got to do it like 6 Saturdays in a row. We've gone and walked through neighborhoods, prayed over neighborhoods. We've gone into our members' houses and knocked on and prayed over their property and anointed with oil. These are the things that we're required to do. You see, this is the backbone of the church. You see, so you got to expect miracles. God will work with you through the power of the Holy Spirit to reach people. The Bible says we sow, we water, and we reap, but God provides the increase. Amen. You can't convince anybody to be saved or have a relationship with Christ, but God can. God can. Read the Old Testament. He has the power through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you got to let the Holy Spirit work through you in order to get it done.
if you can write this verse down, John chapter 4, 31 through 38. Lost souls are the heartbeat of God. God feeds on lost souls. What he says, what does he say in his word? If you have 100 and one gets away, leave the 99 and go after what?
One soul.
So when you go out, you're looking for that one soul that God wants you to minister to. You may not reap that soul, but in these verses 31 and 38, it says some sow, some water, and some reap. It's a sowing process. It's like an agriculture. Sow, water, and reap. Sow, water, and reap. Sow, water, and reap. You're going to reap out of harvest fields that you've never sown or watered into. Because somebody else, a grandmother has been praying for years. A mother has been praying for years. And God brings that person to you at the right time, divine appointment, and they're ready to be brought in. You see? And that's when you have the opportunity to reap that sow. Sow, water, and reap. God has provided a means for us to renew our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is so important in what we do. You've got to have relations to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has three jobs in this realm. Where's Jesus right now? He's what? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. They're in heaven in their realm. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you another comforter. Then in Acts 2, the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell 10 days after they went into the upper room and began in prayer. And Peter, boy, the one who used to stick his foot in his mouth all the time, the first time he preached a sermon, 5,000 people gave their life. Before that, he could not do it. But once the Holy Ghost fell on him, he was all power in the glory of the Lord. He was all power in the glory of the Lord. So you got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit provides a solid foundation for spreading the gospel. A solid foundation. Write this verse down. John 16, 7 to 15. You get a chance to read that. Use that for study. John 16, 7 to 15. Where Jesus talked about, I'm going to send you another comfort. The Holy Spirit, who has the ability to operate in this realm, because God, Jesus told the disciples, you're going to do greater works than I. And they looked at him. I mean, he raised the dead. He did this. He did that. And I'm going to do greater works. Why? Because he knew that you, each person was going to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as you spread yourself out, you were able to spread the knowledge and the gospel of the Holy Spirit to everyone. God is so good. His plan, if you get into it, you see how his plan is so good. And he gives everybody the same opportunity. Everybody has the same opportunity. He says, we don't have the ability in ourselves to spread the gospel. The Holy Spirit has the responsibility. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to regenerate someone. You see, we bring conviction to their hearts. Then the church, you get them into the church, and the church completes the conversion process through training and edifying a person. You try to get them in and disciple them and get them into a church, a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled church. You see, our enemy will always find a way to defeat us if we don't depend on the Holy Spirit. The Bible's already said that Satan is going to be judged. Why should you have fear of him? You see, instantaneously you may have a fear in your heart when you go out to evangelize. I mean, it happens to all of us. But then, that's when the Holy Spirit should kick in. And when you're out on the hedges and byways, once you let the Holy Spirit come in, you'll be saying things that you don't even... Where did this come from? You'll be prophesying in people's lives. You'll know things about people. I've seen a guy down at the shelter. He was drunk. I mean, he was totally drunk. We started praying for him, laying hands on him. And you could see his conscience begin to change. When we finished, he was sober. I don't know how God did it, but when we finished, he was standing there, a sober man. He could then take in what we were telling him. His conscience, you could just see it begin to change from when we started. You see, that's God, the Holy Spirit. You stand there, oh, how did that happen? We look for him and lay hands on him. You see, these things are going to happen when you go out there. these things are going to happen. People are going to break down and cry. They're going to tell you everything about them. They're just waiting for you to come by and say something to them. They're waiting for it, even when they say, I'm all right. There are two means the Holy Spirit uses to spread the gospel. The word of your testimony and your lifestyle. The word of your testimony and your lifestyle. Everybody who claims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has a testimony. What you were before you met Christ. And we all know what we were before we met Christ. What happened when we met Christ, that he changed our lives. And how we're living our life now. That's a testimony. The Bible says in Revelation we defeat Satan by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You have something somebody wants to hear. You see, whatever it was, how you lived your life before Christ, there should be a change now. And God wants you to tell somebody about what he's done in your life so that you can tell someone else in there. They'll see what God can truly work. Everybody has a salvation testimony. And you'd be amazed what God can use your testimony. When you don't know, you don't have to know all the verses of the Bible. You don't have to know. Just speak your testimony and let it go. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Walk away. You've done what God has told you to do. Because you can't save anybody. Just tell them your testimony. Thank you. I appreciate you listening to me. And walk away. The Holy Spirit's got to go with him. Holy Spirit riding that night, he's trying to go to sleep, he's tossing and turning, you know, listen to what you said, he said this, he said that, you got to get your life right, and the next thing you know, he's in a church someplace. You don't know about it, but God is working with that person because you've done what God told you to do. You see, we got to understand that we are part of the system that God is using. And finally, your lifestyle. Oh boy, your lifestyle can be a testimony to someone that does not know Jesus Christ. How you treat your family. Because the Bible says they're the first ones who see the change. How you treat your wife. You see, I had to learn myself that I couldn't love my wife until I fell in love with Jesus. I loved her in a worldly way, but I never loved her in an ungodly love way. I didn't know how to love my children until I fell in love with Jesus. You see, there's a difference. You look at it differently. And thank God we're going into our 43rd year.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't change any of it. My wife here? No. I'm married to a strong-willed woman. A very strong-willed woman. You see. But God has kept us together for 43 years because at a certain point in my marriage, I looked at my wife differently through the eyes of Jesus. Rather than looking at an act like the world. The world says when you get tired of someone, you can walk away from them. And forget about it. Move on to the next person. But that's not what Jesus says in his word. And when you look at it with Jesus, you see something in a person that you don't see looking at it with the natural eye. How you treat your family, your children, your relatives, and so forth. You see. And that's going to hurt sometimes because you can't go to everything that the family does. You see. If family wants to have a good time, they'll say, well, don't invite so-and-so. You know what he or she going to say. Oh, they're going to start talking about that church over there in Laurel, and you need to come to church, and what's going to happen. We can't have any beer. We can't smoke cigarettes. We can't play the videos and the music we're going to play. No! So certain events you can't go to. They say, you must step up. No. I live by the standard of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I live by the standards of Jesus Christ now. There are certain things you can't go to. Certain places you cannot be. You see. Once you get that relationship with Jesus Christ. Certain music you can't listen to. Okay, and also, the next thing is, the ones who know your best, your job, like I said before. Everybody on your job should know where you stand with Christ. You don't have to scream it out, but the Bible says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God. When you're working on a job, the man is paying you, you're there to do a job. But it's the way you carry yourself. Because they see the light inside of you, glittering and shining. Let your light shine on the job. Let your light shine within your peer group, you see. And watch what God will do. Like I said before, they're going to come to you. Because they have so many issues in their life and they can't handle them. They're struggling. And the way the world is going now, it's all negative and finances and stuff going on, people are hurting inside. They don't know what to do. They're running to and fro. You see, am I going to lose my job? Is this? They're looking for someone who can bring them comfort and peace in their life. The peace that goes beyond understanding.
Yes.
The peace that goes on beyond understanding. They see you a steady ship in the turmoil that's going on in this world. You see, when they're talking negative, you're speaking, but you know, Jesus said he's going to take care of me. I'm going to stick with him. But the boss says he got to lay off 30 people. Well, I'm among them. But Jesus said, you're steady. And God will draw them to you.
Amen.
He will draw them because your light is shining. And even in your peer group, social situations. Oh boy. Social situations. This gets tough. It gets tough. Because being in the world, remember, we're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. We're not citizens of this world. We're only what? Passing through. Like Mother says. We're only passing through people. You see, once you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, spiritually you're already with Christ. He says, I go to prepare what? A place for you. Your place is already prepared. You're already sitting on the right hand of the Christ on the throne of God. You're already around the throne of God spiritually. All that's waiting for now is your spirit to separate from this sinful body to take your place with God. You see, once you truly make that confession in your life. And social situations today can get you in a lot of trouble. And finally, how you handle your money. That's so important. To show the world who you are in Christ. Number one, God does not need your money. He doesn't need your money. It all belongs to Him anyway. You're only stewards of what He gives you while you're here. There's no U-Haul in the funeral line. There's no U-Haul. Everything you gain, you're going to leave here. Ask Steinbrenner, who died this year. All the money and power he had is right here. He's gone. You see. But the main thing, he had to have a position with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's like the story I like to tell. A man's wife's husband was sick. He told her to put all my possessions in the attic. So when I die, I can pick them up as I go to heaven. So that's what she did. She put all this in the attic. He died. She ran upstairs in the attic, and it was still there. Everything she put there, she said he must have went the other way. You see, you can't. You can't take nothing with you. But you can prepare the way. God says we can build up treasures where? In heaven. You can build your relationship with Christ by going out and telling people about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you get there, like brother preaches, I forget his name, God of Texas, he preaches, when he stands before God, he's not going to say a word. He's going to look over at Jesus. That's all he's going to do. And he will expect Jesus to say, come on, brother Ed, I know you. Come on in into my rest. You don't have to say nothing because you already have a what? Relationship with him. He knows you personally. He's walked with you. He's talked with you. And he's told you that he's his own. You see him working your life over and over again. Out on the mission field. Out on the hedges and byways. You see the power of God that no one but God could do. No one but God could do. No one but God can do. You already have a relationship with him. Oh, I believe in teaching and preaching relationships. Because once you have a relationship with Christ, and he builds on that relationship and builds on that relationship, you see, because God expects us to come into spiritual maturity. He doesn't expect us to be on milk forever. The milk of the Word. You see, he wants us to mature in the Word. God does not judge a church in Hebrews chapter 13 by how many people in the church. He judges a church on the spiritual maturity of the church. Because what's the use of having a church of 1,000 members and they living like the Corinthian church? Total confusion. Sleeping with each other's wives. All out of order. Speaking out of order. Doing all these things. Talking about Paul like he called Paul so many names until Paul says, I have searched my conscience. What you people, they accused him of taking the money. They accused him of not knowing Christ. I mean, this church was totally out of order. And Paul said, I have searched my conscience, and what you're telling me is not true. I'm not doing all these things. They had that man on the ropes. You see, they weren't spiritually mature. They hadn't grown in the Word and we got off of milk and moved on to meat. In Hebrews chapter 6, it tells you, put away the doctrine of Christ, laying of hands, healing the sick. Who else got another one? I can't think of all of them right now. He tells you, put that away and go on to spiritual maturity in the Word of God. So you stand as a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God, firm and solid in the Word of God. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses come at you, you can get them. When the Muslims come at you, you can get them. When the Mormons come at you, you can get them and tell them what the true Word is, because there's only one true Word.
Amen.
There's only one true Word.
Amen.
There's only one true Word. When you start agreeing with what they have to say, like this TV show on right now, you got to stand up and say no.
Amen.
No. How can you bypass Jesus and go blow somebody up and you're going to get go to heaven and be with all these virgins and have everything you didn't have on earth? That makes the Word null and void. It's a humanistic religion. And remember, whenever somebody asks you, what is your religion? The first thing you tell them, I don't have one. I don't have no religion. Religion's a man-made. They're always changing. They're always changing. I have a religion. Relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let them know up front where you stand so they won't look around the back. You may have a denomination. You may be Pentecostal or whatever you want to call yourself, but you don't have a religion. I have relationships. I know who my God is. I know who my Savior is. He died on the cross for me 2,000 years. He shed his blood because when he was on the cross, Brother Ed was on his blood. Sister Lorraine, the evangelist, I call it evangelist, on his mind. You and you and you and you were on his mind. He saw you sitting here today.
Hallelujah.
That's why he could say, Father, into your hands I cast my spirit. He says, to tell us that it is done, it is through, it is over. Nothing else needs to be done except you receive the gift that he provided. Let's stand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I can stay a lot more longer now if y'all want to stay. I didn't even get into all my verses and everything that we could get into and put a stamp on this thing. But when we know who we are in Christ, we can go out and minister to other people and stand strong in the Word. Stand strong in the Word. Stand strong in the Word. And the Word says, whenever Paul and Barnabas or anyone left the church and went out to minister or even on his journeys, the church would always lay hands on them. So they would be under the anointing of the church and the Holy Spirit. Then they would come back and tell the people in the church what they had done to edify the church, what God had done in their lives. So we want today, if there's anyone that wants, of course, that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, we're here today to pray with you, to bring you back into that right relationship with the Father. We know that we are constantly supposed to profess our sins unto God. He's just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have a Savior that we can go to, even in our worst moments in our lives when we stumble and fall. He wants us to get up, dust ourselves off, and keep walking toward the mark of the high call. For we all stumble, all our righteousness is filthy rags. But God says, I still love you. I still care about you. That hasn't changed. What I did on the cross hasn't changed. Come on back. Restore yourself unto me. And he's ready for you. If people want someone here today that wants to go higher into the Lord, that want to go to that next level, that next step, we're here to pray with you. If you want new knowledge and new visions of him, because he has so much more for you. Oh, brother, there's no telling where God may have you 2, 3, 5 years from now, working in his kingdom. He's feeding and sowing into your life. You see, like Pastor was talking about Moses today. He sent Moses out 40 years in the wilderness to get his mind right. He took all of Egypt out of him. And when he came back, he had the faith that he needed. He had the faith that he needed to make it through. He needed a little help from the Holy Spirit, but he was able to do the things that God, he couldn't have did it before then. God is sowing and watering into your life because he loves you and cares about you. Let's join hands with someone next to you, please. Hallelujah. For we come together as one, we don't want to give Satan any place in our lives because he's a thief. And all the thing he wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. That's right. He was a liar from the beginning. But as we come together as one, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can stand strong and powerful as men and women of God. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for each soul that you put under the sound of our voice today. Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would seal this word into their hearts, minds, and spirit. Oh, Father, you know that they love you. You've looked into their hearts. You know the relationship you have with each individual. Father, continue to nurture them. Begin to sow and water into their lives. Continue to give them visions of you and the knowledge that you would want them to have. Oh, Father, we cry out to you today, Father. We yearn for you in our lives. Father, not only on a Sunday evening, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We want more of you, Father. Father, we don't want to be in the same position we were with you yesterday as we are today. We want to move forward even tomorrow in our relationship with you. Father, keep us under the cloud of glory. Keep your anointing growing inside of us. Father, keep your power growing inside of us, Father. Keep that light shining so that we can go out into a lost and dying world and be the light that they need to see. Let us be the salt of the earth. Let us be the ones that the world runs to and cries out, can you tell me about this person called Jesus? What he's done in your life? Can you tell me about his goodness and his mercy? I've tried alcohol. I've tried drugs. I've tried women. I've tried other religions. But God has called me to you to tell me about who he is and what he has done in your life. Oh, Father, we look for those opportunities. Use us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Use us by the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ. Use us and allow us to sow and water into your kingdom. Oh, Father, we just praise you this day. We honor you. We glorify your name. In the precious name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen. 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 Hallelujah.